You're listening to the Hoban Minute series on legitimizing cannabis. I'm your host, Eric Singular, sitting alongside Chief Operating Officer of Gateway Proven Strategies, CC Zach. Today, we're joined by leading cannabis marketing expert, Ashley Grace. Ashley, thank you for being here with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and you have such a rich background and experience in the marketing sector for cannabis brands, hemp brands in particular. And on this series, we love to talk about what are the things that are maybe holding the industry back. What are the obstacles that need to be overcome so that hemp and CBD can really be embraced by large retailers? So with that being said, I'll pass it over to Cece to kind of kick things off.
So Ashley, thank you for joining us today. And could you just give us a real brief background of how you got into the industry?
Yes, absolutely. So I have a marketing and advertising technology background, and I've spent a lot of time working with a who's who list of, you know, big names like P&G, Nestle, J&J, Pfizer, Target, etc. Really focused along the lines of helping them maximize their ad dollars. And along the way, I had an accident, had a brain injury, suffered nerve pain, migraines, etc. Ended up coming to Colorado as part of my career evolution, and I discovered CBD and really changed my life. And really, you know, in terms of legitimizing cannabis, in my view, that's what did it. The personal experience. And so I actually began volunteering and really decided to change my career after a few more years. Jumped in as the founding CMO of Charlotte's Web, and was then at the founder of Stillwater's Caliper Foods Ingredients Division and a few other ventures. So I've been involved in the CBD industry now for about 5 years, which makes me ancient to most people in this industry.
Well, I'm nowhere near there yet, but I'm, you know, people are saying that I'm a little tenured in this industry as well. One of the things that really strike me is your perception about where you think this marketplace is going. Like, if you had a vision, what would that vision be as it relates to how cannabis infiltrates consumers, patients, industries, big companies? What does that look like to you?
Well, I think ultimately it's going to end up existing in several different platforms. You know, there's going to be a place for cannabis or CBD, eventually cannabis with federal legalization, but just, you know, focusing on CBD right now. There'll be a place for it as a dietary supplement. There's going to be a place for it as an RX drug. Obviously, that's already happened, and there'll probably be more of those. And then there's new botanical drug. I think I just heard this morning about something that happened in recent days about a brand that's pursuing a botanical drug option. So I think ultimately that's what's going to happen to the industry. I think the evolution with federal legalization of cannabis and THC products will definitely only help that, because it'll help remove some of the other barriers and silliness that exists when it comes to marketing CBD.
So besides the legislative side of the changes, what do you think needs to happen for these types of industries to bring in cannabis as part of a new offering? You know, that handful of opportunities that you just talked about. What needs to change to become more legitimate in the perception of everyone's minds?
Well, I think a couple things. One is, you know, on the business side, they have to have confidence. You know, people like the P&Gs of the world that are out there and other large packaged goods companies that are looking at this market are going to have the confidence to enter it, that it's safe, that it's the players that they're getting involved with are trustworthy. You know, the cannabis industry doesn't have the greatest track record in terms of the quality of people that have been involved, though that's continuing to change every day. You know, every day that goes by, it gets more legitimatized as an industry, and more professional people decide to enter it. So I think that's going to continue. And I think ultimately, you know, another thing that's going to help companies have that confidence, and also help consumers have confidence, is people hearing more stories like mine. You know, there's thousands of these stories out there. You know, I've said before that, you know, every single one of us is no more than 1 to 2 degrees separated from somebody who can really, really benefit from CBD. You know, that's as people begin to share that with amongst themselves, the walls tend to come down.
So you had mentioned on the big enterprise side, you know, the confidence for those Fortune 500 to enter in the market. What does that look like, and how can we help shape that confidence?
Well, it's understanding, you know, the whole lineup, whether it be on the regulatory side with all of the legal benefits and consultation that is part of the GPS network, all the way through to, you know, the marketing and being able to understand the consumers and be able to understand what's working in the industry right now. What are people doing? What brands are succeeding out there now? What are the consumers looking for? What are the perceptions of those brands? You know, all of that and all the way through to sourcing. You know, if you're looking at a build or buy strategy, who do you work with in the industry that you can rely upon? What are the types of things we should be looking for in a trusted partner? You know, so I think from a confidence standpoint, it's, you know, when it comes to GPS, we're talking about, you know, people within GPS are, you know, at the same level and have worked with the people that are in these big companies. And so we understand what they're looking for and how they buy, go back through the buying process and evaluating an industry. And so I think ultimately it's the confidence that we can bring is across the entire platform of the business by working with people that have been sort of in their shoes before.
So it's just part of full disclosure for our listeners. Ashley has just joined the Gateway Proven Strategies team as our marketing expert. So Eric, I just want to make sure our listeners recognize that.
Well, I have a very marketing specific question I want to ask you. This actually comes from a conversation that I was having the other day, which is there are a lot of brands in this space. It's a very, very competitive market for the CBD oil, the hemp-derived CBD space. And my question is really this. Obviously, quality matters. High-quality sourcing, high-quality extraction, and ultimately what is in the bottle. But my question is, in such a competitive space, how do companies use marketing to get into the hands of consumers? Because regardless of how high-quality the product is, if you aren't getting it in the hands of the consumer who can then try it and have a good experience with it and see how effective it is because it is high quality, there's a gap there, which this is the conversation I was having with my friend the other day. And this is, I think, why we've seen companies do crazy things like say, our product cures COVID, or, you know, go and make claims that are just they shouldn't be making, because it grabs people's attention. It's kind of low hanging fruit. Exactly. And so I guess it's kind of a point of marketing differentiation. What do you advise a company who just, they have a great product, the quality is there, they're doing everything right, but they're struggling to actually get their marketing to work and actually get that product in the hand of a consumer?
Great question, Eric.
Yeah, I think, a couple things. When it comes down to marketing in the cannabis industry, you know, it's basically you're like that scene from Monty Python when it's bring out the dead and the guy's on the ground and has no legs and arms and he's like, I'm not dead yet, right? And I think I'm giving that the right analogy. You don't have any tools, right? So it's a situation where you have to be very creative at what you're trying to do. That means generally a commitment to content in some form, and that can be very broad. Content is very broad. Depends on what your brand stands for and who your target audience is in terms of what type of content you want to produce. But then after that, it's about, you know, fostering loyalty and advocacy among the users that you do get, and trying to develop, you know, back in the day when I used to work on brand tracking, brand equity tracking, some of these large advertisers, you know, one of the pinnacles was getting consumers to advocate for your brand and talking to others about you. That's never been more true than it is in the cannabis space. And so you have to spend a lot of time. You have to have a lot of patience. And you have to be able to be creative when it comes down to content that initiates a conversation that builds toward loyalty and toward advocacy so that you can activate those consumers that you do have.
One thing that you probably know that I'm very passionate about is the science. And, you know, in your former role and even now, where do you see science fitting in to helping create those claims? And you know, what do you think needs to happen to heighten consumer education in this marketplace?
Well, I think the FDA, number one, I mean, I hate to keep coming back to that because it's such a boring topic to me, frankly. I'm so tired of hearing about it, as I am all government issues. But they are in the way, right? So science is held back because the FDA really isn't stepping up and making any rulings around dietary supplement or food and beverage GRAS affirmation status. It's just a troubling situation. So that's the biggest thing that's holding back the science. You know, after that, it comes down to investment, as you well know, right? It comes down to how much money do you have in the company and how much are you able to then dedicate toward a scientific endeavor in an environment that's in these choppy waters, right? And how much of your science, if you do that and invest in that, and then how much of that exposure then does your science that you pay for, you know, that's really at the expense of your shareholders and could benefit other people, which is another problem that's kind of as a result of this uncoordinated effort. But, you know, I think those are the things I did hear. Like I said this just this morning, I haven't had time to do any reading on this and verify this, so I won't get into any details, but I did hear of a brand that is, pursuing a botanical drug status right now, which is very unique. As I recall from like when I looked into this before, it hasn't only been done a handful of times. So that could spur perhaps a wave of other people to follow in that now that the dam's been broken.
Yeah, that's. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. And yes, the FDA, and coming from the pharmaceutical background, is always the, I guess it's the pink elephant in the room, or is it the white elephant in the room? But I have this dream that I'd love for you to comment on, because you have been in the industry for so long, and you have worked for, you know, one of the top leading brands. Do you ever foresee that a coalition could be created where you have top brands bringing new scientific ideas as a group to the FDA and say, maybe this is the way that we should go instead of waiting for the FDA? Because I've spent 20 plus years waiting for the FDA in so many different things. And the challenge is that our consumers and our patients lose out. And in the spirit of the health and wellness that cannabis brings, you know, to the world, I'm just wondering, is there a room for a coalition to jump in and bring a scientific platform and pathway to the FDA?
You know, it's a very interesting point, CC. I think my first reaction is competition is hard for this industry. You know, it's not easy to do that sort of thing, just given a lot of these companies and the realities associated with the founders that are still involved and or the experience level of that and the trust within the industry has been one of the other big barriers to that and getting folks to work together. I know people are trying through the U.S. Hemp Authority, as I believe, is representing most of the top brands. I don't know in terms of proactively going through the FDA. I'm not sure exactly, you know, what that would look like. It seems like the competition, everything that you have to go through in terms of the FDA processes leads to the competition, because it's all about some proprietary dimension. Whereas what we're really talking about is allowing, you know, this plant to be utilized as a plant in foods and beverages and supplements.
I want to I'm gonna jump into one thing. I want to word this correctly because I don't want it to come across the wrong way. But when, as far as differentiation goes on the part of consumers, if you go to Whole Foods and you're shopping for a product, you might see certificates or products that are certified. A good example of that is products that are GMO project verified. Just it basically confirming that all of the ingredients used to make something were not genetically modified. And so you raised the point on the U.S. Hemp Authority. And so right now, this is another way that companies try to differentiate their products by getting them certified by the U.S. Hemp Authority, maybe even going and get it kosher certified. But I just, maybe you could talk for a moment on that auditing and compliance piece. And it seems like a spot in the industry where, because the FDA is not involved, the normal entities that you would rely on for auditing, somewhat like the NSF, they can't really do anything right now, or they're waiting until the FDA comes in. So from that product certification standpoint, what do you see there as far as, is something coming? Is there something you would recommend more than another? Maybe it is the U.S. Hemp Authority, but just if there's a CBD brand owner out there listening, what is a good avenue to go down toward trying to get some kind of certification that may resonate with a consumer?
Yeah, thank you. That's a good question. I think the U.S. Hemp Authority is doing the best they can. You know, so I'm very much pro U.S. Hemp Authority and what they're trying to accomplish. And I think that's an obvious one that people should consider right away. I also think that organic certification is going to become more and more important. You know, one of the things that you said in the question was different as a differentiator. You know, I think that's coming for the industry. And we'll probably be here next year, I would guess, in mass. And when some of the big brands like Charlotte's Web, I'm sure will be to that point from some of the public things I've read about their organic growing even this year. So I think that's something that's really important. And I know others are pursuing that angle as well. And then NSF, I have heard that there's, you know, I haven't heard details. I just heard that NSF is looking at this and that there may be some activity happening there in terms of them being more able to participate. In the past, they were not able to participate. I know that.
So Ashley, I'm just looking up the botanical plant company, and I was curious, is it Napo Pharmaceuticals, Jaguar Health that submitted the plant-based product that we were talking about for the treatment of diarrhea with cancer? That's what I'm just curious if that's the company that you were talking about.
No, it's not who I was talking
about. It's not, okay, sorry. Well, so much for my Google search while we were doing that. I just love the opportunity that you have articulated as it relates to the certification and how to differentiate yourself. Are there any other avenues of differentiation that you think would bring a legitimacy to brands or to the marketplace in general that we haven't discussed?
It all comes down, you know, there's the obvious ones of feature-based differentiation, which is, you know, a full spectrum versus isolates, or full spectrum versus broad spectrum, or broad spectrum versus isolates, or, you know, all those types of variances that are feature-based. There's the, you know, the feature-based around enhancements and other things that you're adding, like other omegas or terpenes or other, even now, cannabinoids, right? So there's feature-based differentiation around that. I think in my experience in marketing in general, you know, obviously if that's what you have, those are the cards you play. But if you have the ability to play cards that are more emotionally based in nature, that go back and tie in and link with that content strategy I was talking about earlier, that is generally where the magic happens. And that's where you know, I think, you know, if I'm focusing on CBD, developing CBD brands, that's where I'm putting my energy.
And if there is one thing that you could change that you have seen within the industry that would help brands continue on outside of the FDA, because we did spend a little bit of time with that today, is there anything that you would change that you're seeing happen within this marketplace?
Interesting. Well, I wish that people, you know, this is like wishing for world peace, right? But I really wish that people would hold themselves accountable, business owners would hold themselves accountable and not make claims about the product, whether it be that CBD works for pain relief or works for insomnia or works for cancer or whatever it is. When you make claims, it does all of us just such a disservice, because so many of us are out there trying to play by the rules and to develop an industry that is seen and is legitimate. So what you know, you started part of this whole topic that we're talking about, right? A legitimized industry. When you're making claims and you've got, you know, the good guys that are not, and even though the bad guys don't always wear them, they just end up staining the industry, and it's not good for any of us. So that would be one of the things I would take responsibility for on our side, as an industry, for changing. And obviously that's something we can help folks with at GPS as well. All of us have lots of experience with it when it comes to compliance.
And I also have a little addition. I think we call it hashtag cannabusiness acumen. What do you think about that?
I like it.
You do?
That's I like it.
A lot of words.
Well, I don't think accountability is too much to ask for, Ashley, but I think it, you know, it was extremely well said. And it's something we not only want to see, it's just something that has to happen and will eventually happen. You can't be making claims. And you have to play by the rules. It has to be a fair playing field, especially, you know, looking at it from a marketing perspective, to go out there and just say that your product cures everything. It's just not the right thing to do. Well, Ashley, we thank you for your time. We're very happy that you have joined the Gateway Proven Strategies team. And we look forward to having you on again.
Yeah, thanks, Ashley.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hoban Minute. Do you have any ideas for episode topics or guests? We would like to hear from you. Reach out to us at media@hoban.law and stay tuned for more on the Hoban Minute.